Welcome back to Raisin Brand, the official Pixel Labs podcast, where we talk about creative and marketing and how the two come together to build brands. Our goal with this podcast is to use our own experiences, along with that of our guests, to give you a little insight into how you can improve your brand or grow your skills in your marketing career.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Aaron. Glad to be back on another topic this week, and I'm really excited to introduce this one. Zach and I were throwing around ideas for topics today, and this is something that's really been kind of hitting me more and more, and it's the 80-20 rule, and I know that that applies to about everything in some sort of form or fashion, whether it's 70-30 or 90-10. I mean, there's something for everything, but for me, where this is really hit recently and kind of what led to this topic is I actually... In the context of perfectionism, like to apply the 80-20 rule, you know, when actually with content marketing or any sort of marketing, when you're putting stuff out there, especially if it's written, you know, I know that we're often our worst critic. And I think it's interesting, an interesting topic to talk about is, you know, when is it okay to let things go? You know, how important is it that every single pixel lines up on a design, you know, stuff like that. So I thought it was kind of an interesting topic today. So Zach, that was my first intro. I mean, that was the first one. I don't know. How did I do?
You did a good job. Way better than I usually do. So we're good.
Not okay. Whatever you say.
No, the topic was interesting to me because it's something where as a creator, I struggled with it a lot because I like when things look good. I like when everything is kind of perfect in the final video that we put out, whatever it is. But as I shifted my role into the running of a business part, you start to realize that perfectionism really destroys your productivity. It takes away the ability to move on to the next project and learn something new because you're stuck trying to fix that one thing that you don't feel is perfect. And so yeah, when you brought this topic up, I was like, "This is a topic I hold closely to me as a business person at this point."
I mean, I think it's interesting too. How many times have you had something that you thought was really good, like it was perfect, you know, with perfect video, the perfect copy, picture, whatever, perfect intro, even, and you put it out there, and nobody else thinks the same thing. You know, maybe your coworker thought it also looked cool, but you put it out like into the market, I guess you could say, and nothing. I just think about one time we had a hashtag campaign where we wanted people to share their story and, you know, it was relevant to the hashtag that we were using. And man, I tell you what, I made a perfect video. So the primary platform we had it on was Facebook. And, you know, I only use After Effects because my workflow is amazing.
We need to talk about that, by the way.
We'll get it figured out. But I was so proud of it. It was really cool. We had a few people that we lined up to do interviews. And the goal of this was that an individual would share a picture or a video of them in the setting, you know, that applied to the hashtag, and then telling their story and then having a little caption at the top. And so what we did is we pre-recorded some videos with some talent in the area, had them, you know, speak and say what they wanted to share. And then as they were doing it, the video zoomed out and it was on a Facebook post. I designed this all, like, it was cool. This wasn't just like a screenshot of Facebook. Like, I typed it all out, you know, made sure I wasn't going to infringe on any copyrights or anything. But, and then as they were saying it, I had it all typed out, had the hashtag in there. It looked perfect. And I think we got like two laughing emoji responses. I think we spent $50 on this thing, like, and nothing. I think
it was $50 and all your time of making it perfect.
I came in on a weekend to make that. Like, it was perfect. The investment was there. The blood, sweat, and tears. I poured everything into it and nothing. And then as frustrated as I was like, you know, we got to do something because this, you know, we have prizes lined up and all this good stuff. I made a graphic in Canva that took 10 minutes and I posted it with the same caption immediately. And we got like 50 responses within the first couple of days.
There's nothing more frustrating than that. But it's the stuff that you think is going to hit well generally doesn't. It's the stuff that you slap together real quick, and there's stuff that you're like, this could be so much better than what it is. And when it's done, what the reason that is, in my opinion, is the stuff that has less time put into it, the less perfect stuff, is more native to the platform it's on.
I agree. Well, just think of TikTok, you know, that all the content on there, I just think lives and breathes this idea of this isn't perfect. This isn't polished. There are some creators on there that do edit videos and they are awesome. I think of one who he does dances and outlines himself and has all this, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, he draws different things. You know, if the song talks about flame, he'll be able to have a flame pop up in his hand. It's really cool. But yeah, I just think about how often, you know, when we strive for this perfectionism, I think we end up losing, you know, kind of the real, I just say human touch, maybe, you know, in the content that we're creating. Because I think, you know, as much as you try to, you know, pull yourself out of messaging, especially if you're trying to represent a business, I mean, your personality is going to ingrain itself in there a little bit. And I think if you allow for that flexibility of, you know, not trying to go back and trying to change all the words or pull up a dictionary and, you know, try to sound smarter, I don't know. I just think then it offers more room for some of that personality to flow through, especially if it's your piece of content, because people want to see that. And I just think it's really engaging. So I think it's pretty fascinating, especially on the point of, you know, any of the content that I would have said was perfect that I created, it's never gone as well as some of those, you know, off the cuff, just, oh, this might be a good thing to share. That might be a cool post. My most viral post to this day was I slapped together a blog in 5 minutes and posted it, because I thought it made sense, and it got like 700 shares, and that's just more than I could ever. And I could never produce that, you know, that just happened. It's just interesting how the internet works, but I was pretty excited about the topic. I don't know if the 80-20 rule is really what applies to that, but that's how I've always formed that in my mind of, you know, if you can get it to 80%, you know, it gets the job done and you can get it out the door and feel good about it. Then I think then you move on to the next thing and you're better for it. Especially if it's like something like TikTok where it's all about, you know, shooting out there and seeing what sticks. I did like that when we were talking about this idea, how you brought up delegating into it. And I don't know if you want to expand on that a little bit.
We can expand on that, but I want to stick with what you're talking about, because it's something that I used to say this a lot, and I had to recalibrate it a little bit, but I used to say the phrase done is better than perfect. And the reason I started saying that is because we had creators that were passionate about their projects that they were doing, and the project was taking far longer than it should have because they were interjecting their own personal feelings into what perfect or done meant. And it just made the project drag on way longer than it needed to. And so we got to a point where I started kind of preaching the idea of like done is better than perfect, done is better than perfect. But then I had to recalibrate. We started doing it a little bit too far on the done part and not getting some of the technical things quite right. And so I had to recalibrate and pull them back a little bit and be like, all right, we need things right, but it doesn't need to be perfect. And kind of making sure that we were defining that a little bit. But then the other part of that we've been talking a lot about lately is, and a lot of it comes up over the conversation with clients about them creating their own content, because they're like, well, I'm never gonna be able to create as good as what your team does with all of your camera gear and all this other stuff. And that's okay, because in the end, when we look at content marketing, when we look at posts that are gonna go out as just an organic piece of content, we start to look at how long are those even gonna be in feeds. If we're not putting money behind them to promote them, they're going to go in and out of a feed in 24 hours, maybe 48 hours if it's lucky, right? And so when you look at the balance and the weight of your time that you put into it, you should not be spending 8 hours creating a graphic post that is going to go in and out of a feed in a day. But a video that you're creating that is going to be ran with ads that is going to get seen for a total of maybe a month, 2 months, probably max, that is okay to spend the time and the money to create. You have to make sure that when you are looking at the amount of work and the amount of time that's going to go into a piece of content, that you're keeping in context with the delivery of it and how long it's actually going to be seen. Because you don't want to spend $1,000 creating a piece of content that's going to be seen for a day. That doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, and that's what led to the downfall of Twitter for me in the business perspective was that point exactly. We were planning, you know, all this good content, but it's almost like you have to have 20 pieces of content every single day to make it worthwhile. And it just wasn't going to work. So it's just interesting. And that's a really good point that you say that, because it should be looked at from an investment standpoint. You know, is this worth, you know, or, and I think it's interesting too, especially with graphic design, you know, graphic design, you know, there's definitely a purpose for it. And there's a purpose for, you know, actually spending a really good amount of time being very creative. But if you're just trying to get information out the door and in a nice looking setup, you know, whether it be a graphic or a proposal, you know, but it really doesn't, you know, the graphic element of it really isn't that big of a deal. You know, you have to keep that in mind. It's interesting. I just think about how many Word documents I've been sent, you know, that I mean, maybe should have been something better, but to me, you know, it communicated what I needed it to communicate. And of course, it's different, you know, for different organizations. If you're a graphic design company, you want to obviously showcase what you can do in the proposal because that's what you're trying to sell. But no, I just think it's so interesting because you can get yourself so far behind. You know, I remember we had an intern at one point, and you know, for a social media graphic, just, and you know, of course, you know, this intern was learning, and you know, you take time, you understand how things work, but just, you know, you send things back and forth and back and forth, and at some point, you know, it's almost, you know, you've put so much time, you know, looking at it, offering suggestions, they've put so much time into being creative, and really, it just needs to get out the door. But no, I think that's
interesting. We've had that same thing with our interns with our blog, and I generally let the first one, when an intern comes in and they're doing their first vlog, I let them do it just so I can gauge how they approach it and the amount of time they put into it. But very quickly, we had that conversation of, we're going to do another one of these next week. Like, we don't, like, it shouldn't take you a whole week to edit one of these because we're going to put out another one next week. And I explained to them that the faster they edit through this and learn some of that speed, once they learn the speed and they learn the cadence and the rhythm of editing that video, that is when they start to build up the skill side of it, of polishing it. Mm-hmm. But they need to get the fundamentals of being able to edit quickly and put together a story quickly that makes sense, and then try to make it more advanced, then start to add extra effects into it. Don't try to do all those fancy polished things until you have the foundation of what it means to create a story and create a piece of content that will resonate with people.
Right. And then actually that thought brings me back to my early days when I was editing Call of Duty montages, because I was the one who, I remember my friends would always give me crap for it because I'd edit these videos and they'd be 13 seconds long, but I probably spent 8 hours putting together those 13 seconds and I was so proud of it. But to them, you know, especially if they don't know how to edit or wouldn't recognize how much went into it, to them it's like, well, that didn't last long at all. Like, it was cool for that little bit of time. And then you show them like a meme edit of a Call of Duty video that somebody did in iMovie, which I do think there's a skill there, like proper meme editing. I think there's a skill, there's a science, because it's not just like rote. I don't know. I just think it's interesting. But because when you think about your audience, you know, when they're watching it, they don't have the context a lot of times, especially with video, to know, oh, wow, that transition, like to them, it's like, oh, that was kind of neat. You know, but to you, it's like, well, you don't understand. Like I had to keyframe it. And, you know what I mean? It took like an hour to do that. Like they're like, oh, that's cool. And so I think you have to remember that, you know, if you're able to communicate the message and it looks kind of nice and maybe there's some nice things with it, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, you're not trying to, you don't have to, you know, drill into somebody's head how long it took you to make one transition. I did that and it never got me anywhere. They still thought it was a dumb 13 second video. But
so I'm curious, that 13 second video that you did in high school, how long would it take you to do now?
Well, tell you what, I've been out of practice for a while, but I still remember how to do it with After Effects, which is the best video editing platform out there in terms of workflow, if you ask me, and all the other non-intelligent video editors. But, you know, of course, like you learn how to do it. You remember the effect, you know, especially if you're trying to learn something new and you're looking up YouTube tutorials and you're not finding exactly the right one. It's close, but it's not it. You know, it takes time. No, and I've even thought about just putting one together for fun, but definitely, you know, you just reduce the amount of time, because, you know, to your point exactly, and I'll end this point pretty quick, but, you know, when I first started, I was going after, I would just call it the glitter, you know, what I saw other people doing that looked cool, and I just wanted to do that. You know, there was one effect, if you heard of Twixter Pro, I think you have.
Yep.
So the effect, you basically can take, you know, you have to have a decent frame rate, like a 60 FPS video or above, and you're able to make it super slow motion. And so I remember then immediately figuring out how to get it, you know, and actually, so bought it and plugged it in. And then I just had an edit that was one shot, and then it was just a slow motion reload for like 10 seconds. And so that's, I mean, it's kind of neat, but that's the, you know, there's no story, there's nothing engaging there. So now, you know, going back to it, it's, you know, how do you plug multiple scenes together? You know, actually have some sort of song that flows through it and transitions with, you know, some cinematic elements to show when maps change, you know, stuff like that, just stuff that you were talking about.
So what you're saying is that with practice, it wasn't that it got faster, it's just that your edits got more advanced.
Correct. And then you're able to weave in some of those cool things in an appropriate manner, so it doesn't just become the whole entire thing is this slow motion.
Do it because you learned how to do it type of thing, right?
Right. Not do it because it's just something neat you found out. Because again, you know, your general audience member is going to be like, oh, that's cool. And you're like, dude, it took me 2 hours to do that. Like, come on, it's cooler than that. But so one side thought just quick I had is, and it actually relates to a previous episode that we've done about context and changing times. And I think about this year is, you know, people can talk about that, you know, they're concerned or they're nervous because, you know, you have better cameras or, you know, I can't make anything as good as you. And one thing that's interesting from this year is I'm just going to say generally audiences have been pretty forgiving of the quality. I'll just say quality, you know, from an actual technical standpoint. And, you know, I think about, you know, when you're connecting with people, it's through Zoom over webcams that often don't look good and backgrounds that can sometimes just be odd and obscure, you know, and you're talking to people on, you know, your phone. And so you don't have to have that high quality produced look. I just think about, you remember, John Krasinski's, Some Good News, that YouTube channel,
yep.
How goofy that was. And he did it off of his phone. It's pretty amazing, you know, especially with,
and then he got picked up for a lot of money.
It did. He got a lot of backlash for that, which that might be an interesting topic too to discuss, like the ethics of something like that and then selling it for money. Because he got a lot of flack for that, which is kind of interesting.
He did.
But
I agree. That's probably a conversation for another episode. But,
but
now I want to bring this back though to what you were talking about at the beginning. That was the productivity. With the 80-20 rule, how can people take that 80-20 rule and immediately see a difference in their productivity that they do each day?
Right. So that's a really, really good question. Cause especially if you're the only person working on it, I think this can be really challenging. So I think what was helpful for me is just having somebody else to bounce ideas off of, you know, especially somebody else who I'm going to just say has a different perspective. So I think about, a coworker of mine who isn't traditionally in the marketing space and how just overwhelmingly helpful, you know, she has been with actually, I'm able to send her first drafts and she just says, oh wow, that looks really great. And I'm like, you think so? Like there's different things that I would do, but you know, to actually get this out the door, you know, sometimes that's good enough. And so I'd say, you know, get help where you can, ask for perspectives, you know, perspectives that you trust. You don't want somebody who's just going to tell you it's good every time or if they have concerns. But secondly, I'd encourage you to, if you notice patterns, like if you're working on something and you find that it's just always gets stressful or, you know, you start noticing all these little things. One of the most powerful things for me is if stuff starts to get stressful or I'm feeling like I'm hitting a wall, just to take a break for a bit and then come back to it. And usually if there is an issue, then for whatever reason, it clicks then. But if there really isn't, I'm able to move past it. So those would be just two thoughts with that. But definitely having that community, having people to bounce ideas off of is a huge help.
Yeah, I like your comment about that. Like you having the coworker that says like, that looks awesome on the first draft. What that then tells you is like, I may have to button up a few things just to wrap it up and make it like actually complete, but I don't need to spend another 3 hours trying to make it perfect because my target audience that's going to consume this already thinks it's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, it's going back to the thought of, you know, and that most of the time that ends up being graphic design, but, you know, our goal is just to communicate information in a way that would be respectful or presentable, you know, in regard to our brand. Like, that's the goal. Like, we're not trying to create these awesome graphical pieces that move or engage. You know, I would say it's art in its own sense, but it's not for the purpose of being looked at and saying like, wow, that's a beautiful piece of work or a beautiful piece. It's just, we just need you to understand the information, understand that it's from us and that, you know, we're a professional organization. And as long as those goals are accomplished and done well, then you've hit your 80%.
I would agree. I was just watching a video the other day that you were almost like at this point, but basically it was talking about, I wish I could remember the actual wording of it, but basically marketing is an art. There's when you're creating content, it is a piece of art, but it's not the type of art that you would consider like a fine art, right? It's art that is, corporate in a way. It's commercialized art in a way. And so when you put it in context of how that piece of art is being used, it's much easier to say, you know what, 3 hours of time on this graphic is better than, or will do as well as if I spent 6 hours. And so if it's 80% of the way done or 80% of the way to perfect, just push it out and get the feedback of what people liked or didn't like on it, and then make that adjustment on the next graphic that you put together.
Right. And just like how you're talking about with the interns and the vlogs, I mean, you're going to find what you like and you're going to get a style down, and then it's just going to get quicker and quicker. I mean, I would encourage you though, don't send something out that you're not proud of, you know, or that you don't think, you know, you wouldn't want to look back and be like, wow, I can't believe people saw that. Like, you never do that. That's not what we're trying to say here, but recognize when you are maybe going a little bit too far with what you need to be doing. Because it definitely kills your time. And it's interesting too. Once you get good at it, you got to be careful, because then people are going to have these high expectations. You got to limit it so you don't overdo yourself. But no, I just think it's an interesting topic. You know, especially with all the conversations we've been having about how important it is to get stuff out the door, especially this year, you know, and again, referencing that previous podcast that we didn't just record before this, but, you know, just how important it is to be active, especially on these digital channels, just this year, because this is kind of the context that we're in. But I don't know. I think the 80-20 thing is kind of interesting. And again, I'm not sure if that's the best way to kind of summarize this or like to talk about it, but it's just been a game changer. And I know that if I wasn't able to do that in the position that I'm in, it wouldn't work, because I would be behind. We wouldn't be getting stuff out the door. And you end up just being really stressed out.
Because when it comes to Mark, like, you're kind of a team of one at this point, right?
One and a half. I got to give credit to do. She's a big half. Yeah.
And so, yeah, when you don't have a big team of creators around you, and you have a list of projects that need to be created, you have to give yourself some grace on the quality of the, not the quality of the work, but of what you consider it to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, you know, when you spend so much time looking at something, I just remember in high school, in English class, the teacher always just talked about, there's never a perfect paper. You always have something you can fix or make better. And I'm like, I get it, but I don't know if that's helpful. Looking back now, then I understood it. You know, I wanted to be a good writer and wanted to improve. But now it's like, man, like, you know, I just think about, you know, Harry Potter, how much money that's worth. And to her, it's, well, you know, it could be better. Could have been a better book. You know, that's right. How I can look at it. But I know that you can easily hold yourself back. And I think, too, just from a confidence standpoint, when you're able to just get to this point of where you're like, you know, you're able to work on something, jot down your thoughts, you know, especially if I'm writing a quote for somebody, you know, somebody who, you know, you don't want to write a wrong quote for or make them look bad. And they're just like, yeah, sounds good. There's a little bit of confidence in that, you know, when you can, you know, get to a point where you capture what you need to capture and you send it to them and it's the first draft. You don't spend a good amount of time on it, but you're not, you know, you're not thinking about a three sentence quote for an hour and a half. You know, you take 5 minutes, you look up what you need to look up and you give it to them. you know, you get that accomplished, you get a sense of confidence, and now you can move on to the next thing and carry that over. And it just becomes this, I'd say, just snowball effect of, you know, confidence, productivity, and then effectiveness.
Absolutely. Is there any final thoughts that you have that you want to drop in addition to that before we wrap this one up?
No, I think that's about all. I just am so intrigued by the idea of it. So I appreciate this being picked and us being able to talk about this.
Yeah. I would love to know what everyone else's thoughts are on this. So if you have a thought on what this 80-20 rule means to you, definitely hit us up on social media and let us know, because I think it's a topic that a lot of people talk and think about, but it's sometimes hard for a lot of people to put in practice. And by the sounds of it, Aaron, you've done a decent job of doing that. And I'm still struggling with it from time to time, but I've tried to do it a lot more. But I know that creators struggle with it. So I would really love to hear what other people have to say about this topic, because I think if people can start to adopt this rule a little bit, they'll be surprised on how much content they can actually create.
Yeah, and I would just add, really where this came from was I was just questioning, you know, am I productive enough? You know, because it's interesting, especially when you're remote. I mean, you're not able to see others or kind of engage. And so for me, that's where the question started, is am I productive enough? And, you know, to the answer is always no. I mean, you always want to do more. But it's just been helpful, especially to that confidence piece. If you're able to leave a day, you know, feeling good about what you're doing and knowing that, you know, you're not behind or anything like that. So that's just my final thought. But yeah, definitely. I mean, hit us up. I think the biggest theme that we've had in all these podcasts is that, you know, everything's a little bit different for everybody. So we definitely want to hear what you have to say.
Thanks so much to everyone for listening today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to the Raisin Brand podcast on, so you can get notified when new episodes go live. Be sure to check out the show Raisin Brand After Hours, where we take a closer look into the entertainment industry. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, or you have a topic you'd like us to talk about, let us know by emailing podcast@thepixellab.co. Again, that's podcast@thepixellab.co. Thank you again, and have a great week.